is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Vav. We will quickly review and begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Nun Heyam and Aleph to be able to follow the flow of the Gemara Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. As we mentioned in the previous year, our sugyas now begin to turn to discuss the halachas of Stam Yeinam. And we know that the halacha is the wine of an Akum. Certainly if the Akum used the wine for Avodah Zarah, but even if the wine was not used for Avodah Zarah, wine that's used for Avodah Zarah is called Yayin Nesach. Wine that was used not L'shem Avodah Zarah, but it's the wine of an Akum, is called Stam Yeinam. And both of those wines are Aser. And our Mishnah begins to teach us that in the preparation of wine, the wine was typically put on a incline where the wine would be pressed by the Akum stepping on it. Then he would transport it to the top of a mound where he would put a press on it to actually have it squeezed, and that wine is still not Stam Yeinam until it falls into the pit below, and that's when the Mishnah says it becomes Stam Yeinam. And we begin. Says the Mishnah, Loichin Gas Be'utam Levi Kechavim. We allowed to take these wines that were stepped on from the Akum, Afapi Shehu Noitel Biyad V'Noitel Tepuach, even though the Akum transported this wine by putting it on the mound. Because it doesn't become Yayin Nesach until it actually comes down to the pit. Yard Labar, however, once it comes down to the pit, the halacha is Masha Babar Osir. The wine in the pit is considered the wine of the Akum and it's Osir. Vasham Mutter and all other wine is Mutter. And as we continued also saying in our previous shiur, there are two halachas that are relevant. One halacha is that fruits, food, that is mukshel kabel tumah, and the way a food becomes mukshel kabel tumah is by it becoming exposed to one of the seven liquids that make it wet, and then it's mukshel kabel tumah. Once the food, so there's a halacha, also ligroim tumah. One is not allowed to cause tumah to foods of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the halacha is that these foods are considered, until the grape is mukshel kabel tumah, one should not participate with the Akum in the processing of the grape, because he's being goyim tumah to fruits of Eretz Yisrael. There's another halacha which teaches us that one is not allowed to participate in the production of something that's not kosher, and since one does not participate in the production or in any benefit, but that halacha only applies when to a Jew, it's part of the rule of Mesayeya de Oivra Avera. Therefore, says the Mishnah, Dorchim Avdi Kachom Begas, we could participate with the Akum in stamping on the wine in the gas, because as far as Mukshel Kabotoma, causing the fruit to become tamei, it's already mukshel kabel tumah once it got wet. And as the Rishonim explained, as soon as the first stepping on the wine occurred, those grapes became mukshel kabel tumah. And as Rishonim go on to explain, the rule for when it's considered wine and the rule for when it's considered liquid that's mukshel kabel tumah really are two very different rules. And therefore, it's mukshel kabel tumah as soon as it gets wet. Wine, at least according to the opinion of our Mishnah as we're learning now, is only at a much later time. And therefore, as soon as the goy began to step on it, it became mukshel kabel tumah. The point, and it's not yet, so it's already susceptible to tumah. And since it's already susceptible to tumah, the Jew isn't doing anything at this point, the Jew isn't doing anything to make it mukshel kabel tumah anymore. And on the other hand, it isn't yet stam yenam, and therefore the halacha is darchim in ma'ayv de kham begas. One can work together with an akum, one can work together with an akum on pressing grapes in the press. Avaloi b'tzermai. One cannot harvest with an akum. Why may one not harvest with an akum? The reason why harvesting is even at that early point, the grapes don't become mukhshal kabotoma. So if you'll continue working, you will participate in causing tumma to the grapes. And since you'll be participating in causing tumma to the grapes, that obviously is awesome. That's the halacha when one is working with an akum. However, Yisrael shroyes b'tumma. If Yisrael is doing, is processing grapes b'tumma, their halacha is loy darchem v'loy b'tzrimay. We can't participate not in the harvesting, certainly in the harvesting. If you can't participate with an akum in the harvesting, you certainly can't participate with the Yisrael in the harvesting. But here, given that there's a rule, as we just explained, that one is not allowed to participate, that one is not allowed to be Messiah, one is not allowed to participate with a Jew in any way in his doing something wrong. So therefore, participating with him in pressing grapes that are being pressed in Tuma, one should not do that either. One could carry barrels of wine with him, or carry the barrels back from the wine press with the Yisrael. At that point, it's not considered anymore Messiah L'Deyavavera. Continues the Mishnah, if you have a baker who processes bread, when it is Tameh, again, along the same line, we're not allowed to participate in any way in the production of something tameh, and therefore one may not knead nor shape the dough together with Yisrael, who's not careful in how he processes his dough b'tahara. But avamalichim may pass lepalter, and as we said at the end of yesterday's Mishnah, machlokes, according to Rashi, means once it's already shaped, you can participate in taking it to the baker. That's Rashi's pshat. Taisus says that too is usur. The only thing, according to Taisus, that would be mutter would be to take it to the store after it's completely baked for selling. Rav Huna, Kanan's Rav Huna, that as we have been learning, wine becomes usur. Says Rav Huna, at what point is the wine considered wine? Kivin shehischali mashech, as soon as the wine begins to flow, it's considered stam yeinam. And there's a fundamental machloikis. First, we now have learnt a new terminology. We've learnt the word called hamshocha. And what hamshocha represents is that at the point when you have hamshocha, that is the point where the wine is, at which it's considered wine. And that it would be usur for stam yein, as stam yeinam or yayin nesach. And Rav Huna teaches us as soon as it begins to flow, that is the point when it's considered hamshocha. What does flowing mean? Actually, it's a machloikas rishonim. Some rishonim define flowing as from when the juice comes out of the grape. Others say it's actually even an earlier point when within the grape the juice starts to move from where it was out of where it was originally. That already is considered hamshocha. Ask the Gemara Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah loichin gas b'utam rev kechavim. You have the grapes that were stepped on by the akum. So clearly, if the grapes were stepped on by the akum, we have a scenario where juice has begun to ooze out of those grapes. Even though the akum has already stepped on those grapes and he's carrying it to the mound where they'll be further pressed, still our Mishnah says that it's not yet considered stam yeinam. Clearly, we already had hamshocha at this point. Amrav Huna responds Rav Huna that our Mishnah is referring to a situation abekas bekuka meleya, where this pit, where the wine press is plugged. So any wine that's in the wine press below this pile of grapes isn't connected, isn't backing up onto that mound of grapes. And the place where the grape is, the grapes are, is completely full, with no room for any juice to move out of those grapes, and therefore that situation prevents any hamshacha to happen. And since it prevents any hamshacha to happen, that's why it's considered fine. Ask Toshma, says the Gemara further, we learned in the Mishnah, Vein Oysa Yayin Nesach, wine cannot be considered Yayin Nesach at Shi'er Labar, until it actually drops into that pit. But according to Rav Huna, it obviously could become Yayin Nesach at an earlier stage, as soon as we have Hamshacha, as soon as the wine begins to move out of the grape. Again, answers the Gemara, Hachinami, the Mishnah is referring to a situation of a kas bekuka meleya, where the wine press is, the drain to the wine press is plugged up, and the area where you have these grapes is completely packed, where there's no room for any juice to ooze out of the grapes. That's why there is no hamshacha, and that's why there is no concern of Yayin Nesach. Toshima. So now ask the Gemara, but we learned further in our Mishnah, Yored Labar, once the wine or the juice dropped into the pit, the halacha is Masha Babar, the wine, the juice that's in the bar is Asur, Vashar, all other juice is Mutter. So here, obviously, we're not anymore, we can't say that we're referring to a situation of a gas pekuka, of a closed up gas, because we're saying clearly that here we have a situation that the wine is able to drain into this pit. And even though we're saying that's able to drain into the pit, it's still not considered, says the Mishnah, Yayin Nesach, until it gets into the pit. Unlike what we've been saying, that doesn't become, that becomes Yayin, that according to Rav Huna, it becomes Yayin Nesach even at an earlier stage. It becomes Yayin Nesach as soon as the juice begins to ooze out, as soon as you have Hamshacha. Because of this question, Am Rav Huna, therefore Rav Huna says, Lo Kasha. The way we have to respond is Kamba Mishnah Rishayna, Kamba Mishnah Achrayna. The earlier version indeed held, the earlier version of the Mishnah held that it's not considered Stam Yenam, as we have been learning, until it actually drops into the pit. But the later version of the Mishnah was that it already becomes Stam Yenam from, it already becomes Stam Yenam at the point where there is Hamshacha, where the juice starts coming out of the grapes. And the Rishonim make a very obvious and important point now. They say, now that we've learned that it becomes Yayin Nesach even at that earlier point, and that the only difference is there's a difference between the Mishnah Rishonim and the Mishnah Achrayna, say the Achrayim, we no longer need to force ourselves to explain the Mishnah in somewhat of a difficult manner, that we explain that the Mishnah is referring to a situation of a gas pekuka, which obviously is somewhat of a forced teretz. Now we could say that the Mishnah is not speaking about a gas pekuka. We could say that the Mishnah is speaking about a regular wine press, and just that our Mishnah represents the Mishnah Rishayna, and that is, and Rav Huna's opinion represents the Mishnah Achrayna. However, there are a number of questions that need to be addressed even at this point. One is, if this represents the opinion of the Mishnah Achrayna, as our Gemara is now saying, ask the Mefarshim, so it's not Rav Huna who's saying this halacha, it's the Mishnah Achrayna who's saying this halacha. So if it's the Mishnah Achrayna who's saying this halacha, what is Rav Huna saying? Rav Huna isn't saying anything, he's just repeating what he heard, what the Mishnah Achrayna says. So the Mefarshim respond, going back to something that we discussed at the beginning of the, earlier in our shir, that there was a question, at what point does it become Asr? At what point is Hamshacha? And we said that certainly, according to some Rishonim, we say that there is Hamshacha even at the early point when the wine just starts to move out of the grape. And that's what Rav Huna has come to teach us. Yes, that all we need that it should be considered wine is Hamshacha. That we don't need Rav Huna to teach us. That we learn, as we just said, from the Mishnah Achrayna. But if we only had the Mishnah Achrayna, we wouldn't know at what point do we have Hamshacha. It's Rav Huna who teaches us that as soon as there's any movement of the grape, of the juice from the grape, it's considered that we have Hamshacha. So it's Rav Huna's explanation of the Mishnah Achrayna, that's what Rav Huna is teaching us, not the basic halacha of Hamshacha, because the basic halacha of Hamshacha, as we said, is really just the opinion of the Mishnah Achrayna. Furthermore, now that, as we said a moment ago, we no longer need to explain that our Mishnah is referring to gas bekuka, there's a machloikas rishonim, what is the halacha by gas bekuka? What is the halacha if we have a situation where it's so packed and there's nowhere for the juice to go? Will that be considered hamshacha or not? There are some rishonim that say that if there's nowhere for the juice to go, we clearly don't have a case of hamshacha, and it would be mutter. However, there are rishonim that suggest that even if there is nowhere for the juice to go, the gas bekuka situation, it still would be usur. The reason would be usur because Chazal said that we make a gzeira that in a case where there is, even in a case where it's a gas bekuka, it should be usur, given that it's a highly not usual situation. Chazal made a gzeira of gas bekuka because of a situation where it's not a gas bekuka. And the Gemara explains, where do we see this concept that of the Mishnah Rishonah and Mishnah Achrayinah? Explains the Gemara, the Tanya, for we learned it in Braisa. Rishonah Yom and Bedad. Originally the halacha was Bedad. What does that mean? Ein boitzim of the Chum Begas. We're now out of harvest grapes with the Akum. Again, that's a halacha that we learned in the Mishnah. The reason one is not allowed to harvest with an Akum is, as we explained, because at that early point, the grapes, even if there is juice coming out of the grapes, that juice will not be machshir the grapes for tumah. And by Yisrael participating with Akum in the harvesting of the grapes, he's participating in a situation where the grapes will become exposed to becoming wet. They will become exposed to liquid, and the Yisrael will have participated in making grapes tumah. And therefore, ein boitzim of the chum begas, she'osu ligrim tumah l'chumash b'et Yisrael, you're not allowed to participate in causing tumah to any fruit of Et Yisrael. Vein dorchim im Yisrael she'osu peroisu b'tumah. Here we already have fruits that are tumah. So the concern of causing fruits to be tumah isn't here. But there is a concern, as we explained earlier, she'osu l'sayei de'ev avera, you're not allowed to process fruits Tomei in Eretz Yisrael, and this Jew who's participating with the other Jew who isn't being careful with this halacha shouldn't do that, because you're not allowed to participate with a Jew who's acting that way. And therefore, not only is it prohibited from harvesting with an akum, because there's a concern that it's going to become tamei, but when it comes to Jew, even the fruits that are already tamei, one should not participate with him because you're participating in doing something wrong. Avol darchem of the chum begas, you are allowed to squeeze, you're allowed to step on grapes with an akum in the press. Why? The concern of tuma is not a concern because the fruits are already tame, so you're not in any way participating in making something tame. What is the concern that you're participating, that he's processing tamei fruit? There is no such concern by an akum. An akum doesn't have an isser of tumah. What is the other concern? Yayin nesach. there is no concern of Yayin Nesach. Because the only time we have a concern of Yayin Nesach is when it can become wine. But this Mishnah, this Braisa, Loi Hashin of the Rav Huna, is not concerned with Rav Huna, is not concerned with the issue of Hamshacha, and therefore, prior to it going to the pit, this wine cannot become Yayin Nesach, this wine cannot become Stam Yenam, and therefore, there is no problem that you're participating in the production of Yayin Nesach. However, the Chazru Loimer, then there was a second version, a more stringent version, that ain't Darchem of the Chacham Begas. We're not allowed to work with the Akum in the gas. Why? Because this version agrees with Rav Huna. The Rav Huna says that as soon as there is Hamshacha, it's considered that it's Yayin Nesach. So when you're working with the Akum in the gas, where the grapes have already been pressed, you are working on wine that is Stam Yena. And as we're learning, a Jew is not supposed to participate in the production or in the processing of Stam Yenam. And according to this version, this is already Stam Yenam. The Ein Beitzrim in Yisrael Sh'oisav Peroisav B'tumah, you're not allowed to harvest with a Yisrael the Kolshkein Shein Dorchem. If you're not allowed to harvest with a Jew who isn't careful about Tumah V'tahara, you certainly are not allowed to do a further processing, which is already depressing, the pressing of the wine. And as Rashi explains, the concern here is not a specific concern of Tumah Tahara, because as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, according to this version, the halach is Mutta Lugroim Tumah L'chum Shvet Yisrael. This isn't causing Tumah, because there is no prohibition of causing Tumah to the produce of Eretz Yisrael. What is the, however, the issue? The issue is that all produce of Eretz Yisrael, or much produce of Eretz Yisrael, is subject to truma. And the halach is v'ani nosati lachem mishmeres trumasi, that we have to be careful to make sure that truma doesn't become tameh. And since we have to be careful that truma doesn't become tameh, if we're going to process the fruit and it's going to become tameh, the ultimate truma fruit will also be that, will also, the ultimate truma that will be removed here will obviously be truma, will be tameh, which we're not allowed to happen. But that's only when we're dealing with the produce of Jews. So by Jews' produce, there is a concern, there is a chiyuv truma, and as we just explained, once there's a chiyuv truma, there's also a chiyuv that truma be kept tahor. But an akum, that we don't have that concern, av boitzrim of the chacham begas, by an akum, there is no concern about keeping the truma tahor, because the akum doesn't have a chiyuv truma. And besides that the Akum doesn't have a Chiyuv Truma, there's also no concern of processing at this point. Why? Because it's only at the point of harvest. Even Rav Huna, who has the more stringent opinion, doesn't consider it wine at this early point. The only issue would be the Truma Tahira, and here there's no problem, because Mutar Lagur Tumah L'Chulin Shvet Yisrael, there is no concern of making something Tameh in Eretz Yisrael. The only problem is truma, which isn't a problem when we're speaking about akum. Akum anat chayiv and truma semaisrus. So the Mishnah said, "Veine oisi yayin nesach at sheir labar." According to our Mishnah, it can't become wine until it falls into the pit. We know, we just mentioned it a moment ago, that the produce of Eretz Yisrael is chayiv and trumas amaisrus. We also know that there is no chayiv of trumas amaisrus until the product, the produce that we're discussing, is considered completely processed. As the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Masechta Maisrus, that at what point is wine considered fully processed, that there's a chayiv maisrus? Says the Mishnah, Yayin Mishiyikfa, from when it's processed, that the sediment, the scum that's in this wine, the psoilus that's in the wine, floats to the top. So what are we saying, asked the Gemara, that it's already considered wine when it's, that's already considered wine as soon as it drops into the pit. Here we learned in the Mishnah that it's only considered wine at a later time. It's only considered wine when the psoilus floated to the top. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Loikasha. There really isn't the question. Har Rabbi Akiva, this Mishnah that says that it's only considered wine at the point of Yikva represents the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Ha, our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbanan. The Tanya, as we indeed learned in a Brisa, Yayin, for at what point does the wine become Chayv Meiser? At what point is the wine considered processed? The opinion of the Rabbanan is Mishier Labar, as our Mishnah says, as soon as it gets down to the bar. Whereas the opinion of Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishiyikva, the later time of Shiyikva. Tosfos and the Rishonim actually ask a very interesting question. They say that whenever we have a machloikis tanon, and we have one Tana that's more lenient than the other Tana, the Tana who's more lenient is going to make his statement in a way to, that we understand that he's being more lenient. So here in our Mishnah and Brisa, where Reb Akiva is the Mekel, he shouldn't have used the words Mishiyikva. He should have used the words Atshiyikva, which would clearly indicate that it's a later time. No, it's not wine at the earlier point when it fell into the bar. It doesn't become wine Atshiyikva until a later time where the wine has the psoilus floating to the top. And therefore, as the Rishonim, isn't the wording Mishiyikva somewhat incorrect? So I saw two turutzim to this question. When were Chazal, say Tosfos, concerned that the wording should not be misleading and we should know who is the Mekel and who is the Machmer? Where there's room for misunderstanding. Where there's room for us not to be sure who is the Mekel and who is the Machmer. But in this case, explains Tosfos, it's so obvious that Kiva is the Mekel. It's so obvious that the time of Mashiachva is later than the time, that the time of Mashiachva is later than the time than when it falls into the bar. In such a situation, there is no need for us, for the Tanoim, to be careful in the wording to avoid any mistake. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is that when do we have Tanoim being very clear who is the make in the wording, who is the Mekel and who is the Machmer, in a situation where they're speaking together, they're addressing each other, they're speaking together, and we have two opinions. So the one that's the Mekel is going to be clear in telling us that he's the Mekel versus the other man, the Amar, who is the Machmer. This case, explained the Rishonim, the Tvos says this Teretz, it wasn't that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanu were discussing this question together. And Rabbi Akiva was saying that the shear is Mashiach, that Rabbanu was saying the shear is that as soon as it falls into the bar, and Rabbi Akiva was disagreeing that he should have said Atshiyikva. They were speaking independently. Rabbi Akiva said his opinion in one place, the Rabbanu said his, said their opinion in another place, and now our Gemara just brings those two opinions together. Therefore, it doesn't have to, it's not appropriate to say Atshiyikva. He isn't addressing him, he's speaking independent of him. Ibailu now asked the Gemara that we said that according to Rabbi Akiva, the shear is Mishiyikva, but at, which means that they pull the psoilus off from the top of the wine, but actually this yikva process happens twice. It happens in the bar where the wine settles in the wine pit and then the sediment is taken off the top. It also happens at a later time. It happens when the wine is ultimately transferred into barrels, and in the barrel, the wine, again, the psyllus floats to the top, and the psyllus is taken off. And therefore, our Gemara's question is very understandable. What yikfa are we referring to? Ibailhu asked the Gemara, keep with the bar. Are we speaking about when we have the psyllus by the bar, or keep with the chavis? Are we speaking about the psyllus of the chavis? Toshma, the tnan, yainsh mishyikfa, the wine becomes chayv maisa from when the psyllus is there. Afal pishakofa, and even though it floated to the top, that only affects the wine, says the Braisa, that's in the bar. It doesn't affect the wine that's in the upper chamber or in the pipe leading down to the bar. So we see that when we speak about kipui, obviously, shma mina, when we speak about kipui, we're speaking about kipui, the bar kamrinin. We're obviously speaking about the kipui in the bar, not kipui in the pit. And the Braisa is teaching us that it's only the kipui that's in the bar that we have to be concerned about, not anything else. But is kipui of the bar, not kipui of the barrel? Shma mina, a clear answer. Ask the Gemara, but there's another Braisa. The Braisa says, Vatani Rav Zvid B'debei Reb Oishia, he taught us that the shear is, the Tanakham says that the shear from when it's chayiv and maisa in Mishiyer L'bav Yikfa, from when it goes down to the bar and the psyllus flows to the top. We're here, we have Rabbi Kiva saying the shear is Mishiyish L'bachavis, when he takes it from the pit and transfers it into the barrels. So here we see that the shear is actually a later shear, that the shear is from at the time when it's taken to the barrels. This wasn't the shear that we actually encountered until now. This isn't the shear that we encountered until now. Answers the Gemara. The way to understand the first price is as follows. The Tanakhama, the Rabbanon, are no longer going to just say that as soon as it falls into the bar, it becomes, that as soon as it falls into the bar, it becomes wine. And as soon as it falls into the bar, it's wine as far as Yain Nesach, it's wine as far as Stam Yenam. Rather, they're going to say it has to fall into the bar, and the psyllus has to float to the top. Rabbi Kiva has a later shear. His shear is Mashiach L'Bachavius as soon as it's poured into the barrels. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, so now we have two shearim. One shear is that when it has the yikve, and one shear is even a later shear when it's transferred into the barrel. Ask the Gemara, but Al-Mishnah had an earlier shear. Al-Mishnah said the shear was, El-Masis Nektani Eina Oysa Yai Nesach at Shear Labar, that it doesn't become Yai Nesach until it falls into the bar. Lame with Telosa Tanoihi. Seems that there's a third Tana. There's going to be three Tanoim. One Tana is going to hold as soon as it falls into the bar. Another Tana is going to hold that it becomes Yai Nesach when it Yikfe. And the third Tana will hold that it was transferred into the barrel. But we're only suggesting that there are two Tanoim. Says the Gemara, Loi. Shani Yai Nesach Tachmira Barabonim. That means, as far as Maisris is concerned, there are only two Shirim. One Shir is Yikve, and the other Shir is when it's transferred into the barrels. But as far as Hilchis Yai Nesach is concerned, Chazal were more Machmer, and they're two shurim. One is from when it falls into the bar, and the other shir is Mashiachfa. And as the Chazan Ish explains, it's not that we should understand, says the Chazan Ish, that Stam Yenom is more chomer than the Isser of Tevel. If anything, the Isser of Tevel should be more chomer, says the Chazan Ish, because the Isser Tevel is an Isser Doraisa, and Stam Yenom is only Isser Drabonim. However, even though Stam Yenom is only a Derabonon and Tevel is a Deraisa, the fact that one Isser is more Chomer or is a deraisa, and the other one is a derabbanan, is not the only factor, says the Chazon Ish, that we should take into consideration. Meaning, he says, by stam yeinom, Chazal had a specific concern. Chazal's concern was that this person may come to drink the wine of Akum. And because they were concerned that somebody is going to come to drink the wine of Akum, Chazal said that we have to be very careful in making sure that at any point the wine should not be become to drunk, and that's what they said earlier here. By Meiser, Chazal did not have that concern, and therefore by Meiser, Chazal were able to give a later shear, the shear of either Meshiyitva or for when it's transferred into barrel. Ask the Gemara, Rava clearly doesn't subscribe to this teretz, because let's review what happened in our Gemara. In our Gemara, we had a Shaila. In our Gemara, we started that how does our Mishnah say the shear of for when it goes into the bar, where we have a Mishnah that says that the shear is by Maisris, that the shear is Meshiyitva. So Rava, if he agreed with what we just learned in the Gemara, could have given a very simple teretz. He could have said, Yayin Nesach and Meiser have different halachas. The fact that Rava did not give such a teretz is clearly an indication Rava Delayshanalei. Rava doesn't distinguish between Truma and Meiser. So obviously, Rava is going to hold Mukum like a Tlasa Tanoi. He's going to have to say that there are three opinions. One opinion is from when it goes into the bar. The next opinion is Mishiyikfa. The third opinion is from when it's transferred into the barrels. And actually, point out the Rishonim, Tosfos makes this point, that really we should say that there are four shiurim. Why there are four shiurim? Because there's another shiur, and that is the shiur of that we learned at the beginning of our shiur of Huna's opinion of the time of Hamshacha. So why does the Gemara say that there are only three opinions? There are four opinions. Hamshacha, going into the bar, Yikfe, and being transferred into the barrels. Why are we saying that there are only three shiurim? There are really four opinions. Answers Tosfos that the shear of going into the bar and the shear of Hamshacha is one and the same shear. Which of course at first glance is a very difficult answer to understand. We clearly began the shear that these are two different times. So how is the Gemara suggesting that it's one? So I saw two ways of understanding Tosfos' teretz. One way of understanding Tosfos' teretz is that Tosfos means to say that it's the same Tana who had the original shear as who had the previous shear. And first he said the shear was from when it goes into the bar, and then he changed his mind and made it an earlier shear. He made it the shear of me of Hamshacha. Another pshat is it's not the same Tana. There's one Tana that said the shear of Hamshacha. There's another Tana that said that the shear is from when it hits the bar. But even though these are two different Tanon, the Tana of our Mishnah, who said that the shear is when it goes to the bar, ultimately agreed to the other opinion, and therefore it's not considered anymore an independent opinion because he retracted from his opinion. So we learned in the Mishnah, Mashva ba osur, what's in the bar is osur vashar mota. Amrav Huna, loishanu, this halacha, that what's outside the bar remains mutter, is only in situation shloihichse gagratuni legas. Only where they did not put a strainer on top of this pit. Avil hichse gagratuni legas, in a case where they put a strainer above the pit, so we have to be concerned the juice that's in the strainer is perhaps juice that was already in the pit and back up into the strainer, it's usur. Ask all the Rishonim, even if that indeed happened, why don't we say that that small amount of wine in the strainer that's backed up from what was in the pit is bottle in all the rest of the wine which is in the strainer that never fell down and is therefore bottled and should not be usur? Answer Rishonim, that even if we say the halacha bittel, we don't say bittel min b'minoi, but two same types of items. And here, since we're talking that both of these are wine, wine and wine is a min b'minoi, and min b'minoi loy bottle. Ask the Gemara, let's understand. Dargetuni gufa b'mayka mitzra. Why is the wine in the strainer usur? Benitzik, because it's connected with a stream to the wine in the pit. Shmamina. Isn't this therefore an answer to a question? If two items are connected through a stream, which is called halakhically a nitzik, shouldn't this be a raya that nitzik is considered a chibur? Answer, Kedetani Rav Chiya? No. Here we're referring to a situation, kshepascha tzulchusai, that the wine from the pit, as I said, backed up into the strainer. So it isn't just connected because of a nitzik. It isn't just connected because of a stream. It's actually connected because it's backed up into the strainer. Hachinami, the wine in the pit is backed up into the strainer. And since it's backed up into the strainer, that's why it's usur. Ask the Rishonim, if we're learning now that that's the reason it's usur, so why isn't the wine that's even above the strainer usur? It's all connected because it's all backed up. Answer the Rishonim that we're not referring here to a situation that the wine in this, that the strainer has the holes on the bottom of the strainer, and therefore we would have a direct line from where the wine is pressed into the strainer below to the pit, but rather the wine is on the sides of the holes are on the sides of the strainer, and therefore since it's not a direct line, it's called a nitzik bar nitzik. It's not called a direct nitzik, and therefore it isn't usur. Another way of answering this question is really a very fundamental question, and it's a question that the Rishonim already discussed. How do we understand nitzuk? Do we understand nitzuk that since there's a stream connecting these two items, it's considered one taroivus, or it's all considered one big mass? And if we follow that line of reasoning, then perhaps the question that we asked earlier, why isn't it bottle, will also be answered, because we don't say bittel in one mass, it's all one big mixture. Or do we look at it as maga? Do we look at the wine and the bottom is as if it's touching the wine in the strainer? If we look at it that way, and again, as I said, it's a machlokes Rishonim, then the explanation would be that we only say one maga and we don't say two magas. So yes, nitzik teaches us that we should look as if the wine in the bottom is connected, is touching the wine on top of it. The wine in the pit is touching the wine in the strainer, but we don't say a double maga to say that we then extend it further to say that it's as if the wine in the pit is as if it's touching the wine that's further removed all the way in the pressing area, which is a separation of the strainer in between. Says the Gemara, Hu Yunukad the Tana Avayis Kachavim B'Shit Shani. There was a young child that already learned Masechta Avodah Zarah when he was 6 years old. And the Mepharshim say, why is the Gemara pointing out that he was so young when he learned this Masechta? So the Chasam Sofer explains, as we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn, the halacha is that the wine of an Akum that's even touched by an Akum who's very young, the halacha is that wine is considered Stam Yenam. And the question is why? If the whole concern of Stam Yenam, as we're learning, and we're learning as Avodah Zarah, how can we be concerned for Avodah Zarah by such a young child? So, explains the Chasam Sofer, that's what our Gemara is coming to address. And our Gemara is saying that just like our children, where they're so young, already know how to learn, as our Gemara is saying, that there was this child that knew how to, that knew Masechta Avodah Zarah when he was 6 years old, so too we have to assume that there are children of the Akum who are very knowledgeable in Avodah Zarah, even though they're very young. And that's why any wine touched by an Akum, even a young child Akum, will be considered Stam Yenam. Furthermore, the Pesukim say, based on this Gemara, we see the value of a Jewish child, and that there's some children, even a very young age, as we come clear in our Gemara, are very big Talmidei Chachamim. And therefore, the Pesukim say those children, even though we know we've spoken many times, and halacha, there's a difference between a gadol and a katan, children like these should not be treated like ketanim. They should be treated actually like gedolim. And that's also why I saw the Pesukim explain, if Rachman al-Tzlan, somebody loses a child, even when he was very young, and when he was very young, there's hard to believe that he did mitzvahs or learned Torah, so why do we have to keep a yard sight and say Kaddish? But now we could understand, because our Gemara is showing us that there were very young children, that even young children can be considered Talmid Chachamim, and we have to respect their memory. Says the Gemara, "Hu yinaka the Tana Avad Chachamim Shitshani." There was a young child that learned Avodah Zarah when he was 6 years old. Barmenei, Ma'al Lidrachim Avad Chacham Begas. Could somebody press wine together with an Akum? Amaluhu. So he responded, "Darchem Avad Chacham Begas." We may ask the Gemara for a Kamenase Biyadei. Why are we not concerned that the Akum will pick up the wine, and when he picks up the wine, he'll be making it into Yayin Nesach? Answered Gemara, the Tzarin Leili Yodei. We tie up his hands. And as Tosfos explains, he's not just saying a psak, he's referring to a situation that happened. Asked the Gemara, but even if his hands are tied up, and therefore he can't do Nesach with his hands, but he could be doing it with his feet, v'kam Nesach b'regel. Answers the Gemara, the child answered, Nisach the regal Loishmei Nisach. So Machloikus Rishonim, why it's not considered Nisach. One explanation is, since that's not the way that Nisach is usually done, therefore Nisach the regal Loishmei Nisach. Another explanation that I saw is that when the Akum is doing Nisach with his regal, he's extremely preoccupied with concentrating on pressing on the wine with his feet, and therefore he doesn't have time to think about Avodah Zarah, and therefore the wine does not become Yayin Nesach that way.